Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're looking at leadership, but maybe not the way you'd expect. We're using The Motive by Patrick Lencioni.
It's really a fascinating book.
It is. We're going to see what really makes those leaders tick, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there are things we can all take away from this, even if we're not CEOs of some big company.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot to unpack about ambition and what people think success really is.
Right.
And how that plays out in a leadership role.
And speaking of leadership roles,
mm-hmm.
the book starts us off with this guy, Shay Davis.
Okay.
He's the new CEO of Golden Gate Security. But here's the thing. He's only been on the job like 6 months, and he's already feeling the pressure big time.
Yeah, I can imagine. New CEO, new company. Always got to prove yourself, right?
Yeah. And in his case, it's even worse because there's this other company, Del Mar Alarm. They're like the big rival. Imagine Coke and Pepsi, but for like home security systems.
Right, right. I get it. So the competition is fierce.
Oh, it's intense. And Shay is kind of freaking out about it, understandably so.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of pressure can really get to you no matter how confident you are. It's like this constant need to prove yourself, to measure up.
Totally. And it makes me wonder, have you ever felt that kind of pressure in your own work? That sense of like needing to constantly prove yourself.
I think everyone feels that to a certain degree. You know that imposter syndrome thing? Like even when you're successful, there's that little voice in the back of your head saying you're not good enough, that you're going to get found out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've definitely been there. But okay, so back to Shay. He's in this tough spot. And instead of just, you know, trying to figure it out on his own, he starts thinking about bringing in this firm, Lighthouse Partners. They're like these leadership consultants. But here's the thing that really got me.
Okay, I'm listening.
They already work with this competitor, Del Mar Alarm. So he's thinking about going to his rival for advice.
Wow. That's a bold move. I mean, wouldn't you be worried about giving your competitor an advantage? Like, what's stopping them from using that knowledge against you?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, are you really going to trust the people who are helping your biggest rival?
It's definitely risky, but think about it. Sometimes the best insights come from looking outside your own bubble. Like, understanding your competitor's strategies could be a huge advantage. It forces you to step outside your comfort zone, you know? See things from a different perspective.
Okay, so maybe it's like, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Maybe, yeah. But it also makes you wonder what kind of guy this Liam Elcott is. You know, the CEO of Del Mar Alarm. Shay seems to have some pretty strong feelings about him.
Well, yeah. He sees Liam as this, like, effortlessly successful leader, the guy who has it all figured out. And it's kind of driving Shay crazy. Like, why can't HE be more like that?
It sounds like Shay has built this whole rivalry in his head,
yeah.
You know? Like, Liam is this larger-than-life figure that he's constantly comparing himself to.
Right, but we don't even know if Liam actually is this amazing, untouchable leader. Maybe it's all just in Shay's head.
Exactly. And then, well, this is where things get really interesting. Shay gets a phone call, and guess who it's from?
Liam.
Liam Elcott himself. Can you believe that?
Whoa, hold on. So the guy who Shay sees as his biggest rival, the guy he's practically obsessed with, is suddenly reaching out to him.
Yeah, I know. What do you think is going on there? What could Liam possibly want? It's like the ultimate cliffhanger.
I'm totally hooked. It's like, why would this seemingly successful CEO reach out to someone who basically considers him a nemesis?
I don't know. It makes you really wonder about Liam's motives.
It does. Like, is he calling to gloat?
Yeah.
Go offer some backhanded advice? Or could there be something else going on here?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it makes you wonder what really motivates these successful leaders, right?
It does.
Like, is it all about crushing the competition and climbing that corporate ladder? Or is there something more to it?
Right, exactly. Because in the book, Lencioni kind of challenges that whole idea, right?
Yeah, he does.
He's saying that it's not always about that, that maybe there's a deeper purpose at play sometimes.
He does. And this call from Liam, it just throws everything we think we know about him into question. Like, is this guy actually reaching out to Shay out of some sense of responsibility?
It would be pretty wild if he was. Like, he sees something in Shay, maybe even the whole industry, that he wants to protect. Or maybe he's just messing with Shay's head. Who knows?
Right. It could be some kind of power play. Or maybe he sees Shay as a potential threat and he wants to, like, keep his enemies closer.
Ooh, that's a good point.
It's
like, is this Liam guy a selfless leader or is he just a really good strategist?
Tough to say. But that's what Lencioni really gets into in the book, the why behind people's pursuit of leadership roles. And he says that, well, a lot of times We go after these positions for the wrong reasons.
What do you mean by wrong reasons?
You know, the status, the power, the big corner office, all that stuff. He calls it reward-centered leadership.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. Who hasn't daydreamed about having the fancy title and calling all the shots?
Right. But Lencioni's point is that those things shouldn't be the main motivators. He says when they are, it can lead to a lot of problems.
Like what kind of problems?
Well, for one, these leaders can get really fixated on what they're getting out of the position, not what they're giving to the people they're leading.
So it becomes all about their ego and their own personal gain.
Exactly. It's like their own little kingdom.
Hmm. Interesting. So they're not really focused on inspiring their teams or creating a positive work environment. It's more about like maintaining their power.
Pretty much. And Lencioni actually outlines what he calls the five omissions of reward-centered leaders.
Five omissions. Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, for starters, they avoid making tough decisions, especially if those decisions could make them unpopular, you know?
Well, I've definitely seen that before. Mm. Like, they're more worried about protecting their image than actually doing what's right for the team or the company.
Exactly. And then they tend to shy away from giving direct feedback, too. Like, they'd rather just avoid conflict than have those tough conversations that could actually help their team members grow.
Yeah, it's like they're so focused on being liked that they're not willing to challenge people or hold them accountable.
Exactly. So they end up with a team that's maybe not performing at its best.
Right. Makes sense. So if that's the wrong kind of leadership, what's the right way to do it?
Well, Lencioni argues for what he calls responsibility-centered leadership.
Responsibility-centered leadership.
Mm.
Okay. So what's the difference?
Well, with this type of leadership, the focus is on serving the team and the organization. It's not about what you as the leader are getting out of it. It's about fulfilling your responsibility to the people you lead.
Okay, so it's more about duty than personal gain.
Exactly. And it's not about being a pushover either. It's about having the courage to do what's right, even when it's hard. Like, think about a manager who's willing to fight for their team's resources, even if it means pushing back against higher-ups. Or a leader who is not afraid to give tough feedback, but does it with compassion and a focus on the person's growth.
Right. So it's not about avoiding conflict altogether. It's about approaching it in a way that's constructive and beneficial for everyone involved.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, that's what Liam's doing with this phone call to Shay.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, it's possible, right? Maybe it's a genuine act of concern, a willingness to help a competitor for the greater good of the industry. Or maybe he's playing some sort of long game and just trying to manipulate Shay in a way that ultimately benefits his own company.
Yeah, good point. Lencioni doesn't give us all the answers right away. He leaves us wondering, and that's part of what makes the book so engaging. It challenges us to question our assumptions about successful leadership and to consider the motivations behind people's actions.
It is interesting, because it's like we're so conditioned to see the business world as this cutthroat, dog-eat-dog environment. But maybe there's room for something more nuanced, something more human.
I think so. And this is actually where Lencioni's critique of servant leadership comes in. He says that it's often misinterpreted as being too soft or avoiding confrontation at all costs.
Oh, interesting. So you're saying that being a servant leader doesn't mean you have to be a pushover.
Exactly. True responsibility-centered leadership isn't about always saying yes or trying to please everyone. It's about understanding that sometimes you need to make tough calls, hold people accountable, and deliver difficult news. But you do it with a genuine desire to serve the greater good, not just your own interests.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, sometimes you got to be the bad guy to make things better for everyone in the long run.
Right. And it's about how you do it, too. It's about being respectful, being clear about your reasons, and focusing on the person's growth and development.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like, think of a parent disciplining their child. It's not about wielding power or punishing them. It's about guiding them towards making better choices and becoming a better person.
Exactly.
But how do we know, like, really know, if someone is truly acting from a place of responsibility, or if they're just disguising their own self-interest as something more noble? Because, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of leaders talk a good game about serving others, but then their actions don't always match their words.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think that's precisely what Lencioni wants us to grapple with as we read this book. What are the true motives behind people's actions, especially those in positions of leadership? Are they driven by a desire to serve, or are they simply looking out for themselves? It's a question we should all be asking ourselves, really.
Okay, so to recap a bit, we've got Shay, our new CEO. He's feeling the pressure, right? Trying to prove himself. And then there's this Liam guy, the CEO of the rival company.
Who also happens to be Shay's kind of idol, in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Shay sees him as this, like, almost mythical figure. And then, bam, Liam calls him out of the blue. It's like, what's going on here? What's the catch?
I know, right? Total curveball. And I think that unexpected turn is really what Lencioni wants us to think about when it comes to leadership.
So it's not always about, you know, the cutthroat competition and all that.
Not necessarily. Like, sometimes it's about recognizing that we have a shared responsibility, even with our so-called rivals.
Hmm. So you're thinking Liam might actually be reaching out to Shay out of some sense of, like, duty to the industry.
Maybe. Or maybe it's a strategic move, right? We've talked about those five omissions of reward-centered leaders.
Yeah.
Maybe this is an example of that in action, you know?
Okay, so walk me through that. How could this be one of those omissions?
Well, remember how reward-centered leaders often avoid making tough decisions? Like, what if Liam sees something in Shay, or maybe even in the way the whole industry is going, and he feels like he needs to step in, even if it means helping his competitor?
But that's like the opposite of what we'd expect from a CEO, right?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be focused on beating the competition, not helping them.
Exactly. And that's why Lencioni's book is so thought-provoking. It makes us question those assumptions. Like, are we so quick to put people in boxes, to label them as good or bad, based on our limited perspective?
I see what you mean. We might be assuming Liam is acting out of self-interest, but what if there's more to it?
Exactly. And to be fair, we can't rule out the possibility that he's trying to manipulate Shay, right? Like, maybe this is all part of some elaborate scheme to gain an advantage for Del Mar Alarm.
Ooh, good point.
It's like we're so used to seeing the business world as this cutthroat arena, but maybe there's room for something more complex, more human.
Yeah, that's what makes this whole situation so fascinating. Like, is Liam a genuinely good guy who's willing to help a competitor? Or is he a master strategist who's playing the long game? Lencioni really keeps us guessing.
He does. And remember, those five omissions, they're not just theoretical concepts. Lencioni gives us real-life examples of how these things play out in the workplace.
Right, like those CEOs who avoid dealing with underperforming employees because it's just too uncomfortable.
Exactly. Or those managers who take all the credit for their team's success instead of recognizing the contributions of everyone involved.
Yeah. Sadly, those scenarios are pretty common. It makes you think about the leaders you've encountered in your own life.
Totally. Like, what were their true motives? Were they driven by a desire to serve others, or were they more focused on their own personal gain?
It's something we should all probably reflect on. And maybe, just maybe, by understanding these dynamics better, we can all become more effective and responsible leaders ourselves.
That's a great point. Whether we're leading a team at work or a family at home or even just ourselves, it's important to be aware of the why behind our actions. What are our motives? Are we acting out of a genuine desire to serve, or are we letting our egos get in the way?
That's a great takeaway. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the motive. It's been a really fascinating exploration of the, well, the hidden world of leadership and those motives that sometimes drive us.
It has been. It's a topic that definitely deserves more attention. And I hope this conversation has sparked some new insights and maybe even challenged some of your assumptions about what it means to be a truly effective leader.
Definitely. And to all our listeners out there, we want to hear from you. What are your motives for leadership? Have you ever encountered a leader who really embodied these ideas of responsibility and service? Share your thoughts and experiences in the comments below.
We always love hearing your perspectives.
And until next time, keep diving deep.